so we can cancel 2020. But we're not going to cancel Christmas, are we, Abs? Okay, just want to make sure. She was like, oh no, man, Papa, we can't cancel Christmas. No, just the rest of 2020, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 9 tonight. We're going to be introduced to Saul tonight, the king of Israel that's going to be the first king of Israel. We've called our series that we're preaching through on Sunday night, the kings and the prophets, but yet we've had no king so far. And we're finally going to get to the kings. Samuel being the first, David, of course, being the second, Solomon being the third, Rehoboam would be the fourth, but then the kingdom is split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and there is much going on after that from the northern tribes of Israel to the southern tribe of Judah. But every moment along the way, God still has prophets. He's got his preachers who come on the scene. And Samuel being what many people would call the last judge or the first prophet of the kings and the prophets. And so just as a way of reminder, we would remember that Samuel comes on the scene in Samuel is the leader of the he's the prophet in chapter number 7, and he prays and does an offering. He has a burnt offering, and he prays that the Philistines would be discomforted, and they are smitten before Israel. And then the Bible tells us that the Philistines were subdued and came no more into the coast of Israel. This is verse 13 of chapter 7. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine. Look at this. All the days of Samuel. And then last week, we saw a new generation. So 25 to 30 years pass from the end of chapter 7 to when we come to chapter 8. And the people, this new generation of leaders or elders come to, they come to Samuel and they say, Samuel, you're getting old. And we want a king. We want to be like the rest of the world. And so Samuel begins to give them the word of God on what will happen if they get a king. He tells them, and I'll speak about some of that. But the Lord makes it very clear to Samuel, Samuel, they're not rejecting you as the prophet. Really, they're rejecting me as the Lord and as God over them. And so all of a sudden, now the scene changes and we're going to be introduced to Saul. So I'm going to read not the whole chapter, but let's read about this man named Saul. There's a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Verse number 2 said he had a son whose name was Saul. Now notice the description of this man Saul that God is going to call as the first king. He's a choice young man and goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And then the Bible begins to talk about how that Kish, Saul's father, loses donkeys, and he sends him out. He sends Saul out to find those. And down in verse number 6, it said, behold, now there is in the city a man of God. So they begin to tell him about Samuel, about the man of God that can maybe help them. I'm trying to move this along, not to read the whole chapter. Verse 6, there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now, let us go thither. Preadventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? Now, I like that. He had a respect for Samuel, that he was not going to go to him empty-handed. He said, the bread is spent in our vessels. There's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here a hand, the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, he is. Behold, He is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as soon as ye come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time you shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now here's an interesting fact here, that the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry came unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate. Now listen, Saul is oblivious to the fact that God's already spoken to Samuel that he's going to be anointed the king. And so he looks right at Samuel and he says, do you know where the seer is? And Samuel said, I am the seer. Verse 19, go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a high honor. This is unexpected. Saul didn't realize this was going to take place. He says, tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thy heart. But as for the asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them. So Saul's going to come to Samuel, the man of God, and he's going to say, hey, can you give us some advice? Can you tell us where we might find the donkeys that have been lost? And Samuel says, don't worry about the donkeys. God's got something else prepared. And just drop down to, I'll look at some other things, but in chapter 10, verse number 1, Samuel takes a vial of oil and pours it upon the head of Saul, kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now it seems odd, but rather than Saul ascending to the throne, because there is no throne, he just goes back to his house and moves on with his life like everything is normal until God makes it clear that he would to raise an army and it would be against the Philistines. But I want to look at Samuel tonight. I want to look at Saul tonight, maybe in a different light than we'll eventually look at him, because Saul is a man who starts out real good, but it ends up real bad. I mean, when you look at Saul in chapter number 9, you see a humble man, a man who's obedient to his father, a man who is concerned about, I mean, he's humble, he's not overly prideful, he's from the house of Benjamin, he's got a good attitude, he seeks the man of God for advice. All these things are good. But when you see Saul at the end of his life, he's not seeking, he goes to a witch of Endor to try to bring Samuel back from the dead to get advice. At least he knew who the man of God was, but you don't go and seek the man of God through a witch of Endor. And not only that, he tries to kill David, and David has done nothing wrong, and his heart and his spirit is totally messed up, and it's just whacked out. But it's a part of the story, as we'll look at. But let's do something good tonight. Let's look how he started out. And just because you start out good for the Lord doesn't mean you'll end up. And by the way, there is none of us any of us could go the way of Saul if we're not careful. So let's ask God to help us tonight. And here's what I want to preach on. God is still looking for people to use. The principle of that is still real. Lord, help me tonight to relay the message of chapter number 9 and the beginning of chapter 10 as this man Saul is anointed to be king. But Lord, help us to look at his spirit, his attitude, his obedience to his father and many things right here that we see. And then make some applications along the way. And then Lord, help us to understand that we should desire to serve you all the days of our life. and not to be seeking a witch of Endor and trying to kill people or trying to bring wickedness against people, revenge against people, just trying to hurt people. But Lord, like Saul did, and just was full of himself and full of pride and full of all kinds of bitterness and wickedness, and Lord, but yet he started out right. So God, help us to start out right, be right, and finish right. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. There's two men in the Bible, to be honest with you, that, I mean, maybe you can help me, but I've never really figured them out. They're very strange. They're what we would call enigmas. That's a big fancy word for meaning that they don't really fit into what should be taking place. And those two people, for me, one of them is Saul and the other is Balaam. Now, the reason that I say that these two men, that you can't figure them out or they're weird or whatever it might be, is because both Balaam and Saul knew what was right. They were instructed in the ways of the Lord, especially Balaam. Balaam, I mean, God made it very clear what Balaam could do and what Balaam couldn't do. He couldn't curse the people of God, yet he was given the opportunity to make a lot of money, and that part he wanted, but he knew that God would not allow him to curse the people of God. And so I look at Balaam as a man who knew what was right, but chose rather to take the money than to obey God. Now, we know that from the scripture. Basically, what Balaam did was he became a hireling. And he said, now listen, he said to the king, I cannot curse them, but let me tell you how you can get to them. Let me tell you how you can bring wickedness into the land of Israel. And basically, he said, if you'll take your women and marry their men and incorporate the world with the things of God, you'll be... And basically, he became a hireling. He became a hireling rather than to be true to the word of God and to be true to thus saith the Lord. Now, Saul is the other guy. I mean, when you read chapter 9 and you see that this man was a choice young man, he was goodly, he was a goodlier person than anybody else, and he stood taller than everybody else, and everybody would look to him. He is a perfect example of, like Eliab, when people look on the outside and judge a person based upon their appearance rather than to judge them based upon what their heart is. And when you looked on the outside, you saw Samuel. Samuel was tricked a couple of times. When he went to the house of Jesse to anoint David as the king, he saw Eliab and he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Maybe because the first time around, he looked at Saul the same way and say, okay, well, that's the obvious choice. Saul is the obvious choice. And if Saul is the obvious choice, then maybe Eliab is the choice, the obvious choice. But it was at that time that God said to Samuel, hey, listen, you need to quit looking on the outside and understand that God looks on the inside. And by the way, God knows the inside. He knows your insides. He knows your uprising. He knows your downsetting. He knows what if you're motivated by caring about what people think or caring about what God thinks. And I'm telling you, our life will be a whole lot more simpler and pleasing to God if we would be more concerned about what God thinks than what man thinks. Somebody say amen. Are y'all awake here tonight? That was a good amen right there. I see people when Trump says something, they know when to say, hey, yeah, that's right, or have I? Okay, help me. Help me, Lord, not to speak like Joe Biden tonight. I did that last Wednesday night. Saul is a man who will become king. He was a man who started out good but finishes up bad. Now, let me tell you something. It's a sad testimony for a child of God to know what is right, to serve God, love God, but yet towards the end of their ministry or the end of their life just to fall off and to go sad. It's just a sad commentary, but I'm telling you, it happens. And it could happen to us. It could happen to any of us if we don't allow our heart to stay close to God and to continue to do that what is right, and always to continue to strive to learn and to have a heart for God. And as long as we're going forward and growing, it'll be harder for us to backslide or go backwards, but it's very easy. You can sit in church. This COVID world, I'm telling you, we've gotten lazy on many occasions. I hope you're in your Bible. I hope you're reading your Bible. I hope you're praying. I hope you'll pray till Jesus comes. I hope you'll continue to do all the things that you're supposed to do, even in the midst of trials and overwhelming of our heart and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Continue to do right for God. Because every person is going to stand before the Lord and give an account. But Saul, man, an evil spirit came upon him because he decided that he knew better than God. But at least in chapter 9, we have some things that we can see that is good. And I've already mentioned this new generation of leaders comes on the scene after many years of peace under the leadership of Samuel the prophet, and now there's stubbornness and the rebellion against God. The Israelites asked for a king, and God gave them a man named Saul. Now, many people believe, and I believe it's possible, that if they had waited on God, that it would have been David. Maybe that would have been the first king and the king that God would have them to have. But here's what Samuel had warned them about a king in chapter number 8. He said, if you demand a king outside, if you demand a king, your sons will be drafted into that man's army. They're going to be appointed for the king's farms for their service. Your daughters are going to be appointed to be cooks and bakers. Your lands will be confiscated if the king has need of it. But in spite of the warnings, they said, we want to be like everybody else. Folks, we should not want to be like everybody else. Amen. And we want to be like everyone else. Give us a king. In the book of Hosea, God said this, I gave thee a king in my anger. Now think about this. Through the prophet Hosea, he said, I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. So God gave them a king to meet their needs, but he also used the kings to discipline them in the way that they were not expecting. Now here's the call of Saul to be king. This chapter reveals a fine young man. Now he had faults. I believe he had faults because I believe we all have faults. But the Bible does say he had some qualities that God could use. Now, one thing that we see in chapter 9, and you can reread this, but here's the thing that I like about Saul in chapter 9. He has a good attitude. Boy, attitude, give me a good attitude and you can do a lot. You can teach people if they got a good attitude, if they have a sweet spirit, if they have a learning heart, but you get somebody that knows everything. You can't tell some people something because they'd already know everything. But Saul was not like that in the beginning. But by the time we get to the end of his life, Saul knows everything. Saul knows better than God. Saul tries to kill David, a man after God's own heart. Saul becomes envious of David. Saul becomes jealous of David. And it's amazing that David's not doing anything. Just trying to serve God. Watch over the sheep. Play the harp. Be a servant to the king. Be a man of war. And David went out and did great exploits for God. And then the women said, oh, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul went berserk. Hey, listen, if somebody comes along after you and does greater exploits for God, you know what you should do? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have too much insecurity in Christianity, too much insecurity in ministry. We got preachers that that don't want anybody to get the credit. Hey, God's the ones that gets the credit. God just get the glory. Man, I know that I ain't got much going on. I understand that. So surround yourself with people who do have it going on. And let them help you. I'm just telling you, Saul should have said, man, I got this guy David. He is an awesome guy. He's a man of war. He killed Goliath. It was almost like Saul got mad when David killed Goliath. Yep. And Saul said to his advisors, who was that kid? What was that? Well, you know who it was. And David comes back holding the head of Goliath in his hand. I mean, listen, he should have said, hey, I want this guy. That's right. But instead he got jealous and envious. And then that's when things begin to go south. I was reading this week just in my Bible study. What did Moses do? He did what God told him to do. What did Aaron do? He did what God told him to do as far as the being the priest and Moses being the leader. But did you read over there how that the people were envious? And they hated the thought of what that you know, like Moses. You know, they said, like, you know what, Moses? You've taken too much upon yourself. No, he hadn't. He was just doing what God told him to do. But the perception of the heart of the people caused them to be bitter and envious. And guess who's miserable when you're bitter and envious? The person that's bitter and envious. You're the one that's you're just. That's all. Listen, that's all attitude. Attitude. And too many people have an attitude of envy, attitude of bitterness, an attitude of hate, an attitude of revenge, an attitude, I got it. No, listen, God will take care of your battles. God will take care of things that need to be taken care of. But the thing about Saul, he had a good attitude. Guess what? When you have a good attitude, you're usable. But later, he will change. Do you know people do change? Now, let me just tell you this. This is, I mean, just stay with me because this is something that's important to understand. If you're led by the Spirit of God, the change in your life will be good. It will be positive. It will give God the glory. But if your attitude and your spirit changes to the world and seeking the things of the world and the people of the world and your own ways, and your change is going to be for the worst. That's exactly what happened to Saul, bottom line. And so he started out very good, but he finished very bad. So I know I keep saying this, but can I finally get to what I really want to preach about? I want to focus on the good of how he started. And I want you to understand that if you have a good attitude and a good spirit, and you keep that good attitude and you keep that good spirit, and you have a heart of learning, and then you can finish... You can finish good. And that's what we should want. It should be our desire to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So it's at this point of Saul's life I want to look at. I'll preach enough about all of the negative thing, but I want you to look at the traits tonight that God had in Saul and that God is looking for. You know, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 talks about, let's see, I think I got it marked. Psalm 139 in verse number 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now that, we need to read that to the abortion crowd. Did you hear what I said? "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And David says, "I will praise thee for," look at this, verse 14, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now that goes for all of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Do you understand? We're all unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now here's what I want you to understand. God made you the way you... God made you. You're created in the image of God. He knew everything about you when you came out of the womb. He understands you. He makes no mistakes. So what you need to understand is God can use you who you are. I said God can use you who you are. And the reason that God made us the way He did with our particular characteristics is because He's got something for each of us to do. Yes. Now the first thing I want you to understand about Samuel, not Samuel, Saul. We're not preaching about Samuel. We're preaching about Saul. So in the middle of my preaching, what if I say Samuel, just raise your hand and say, "Do you mean Saul? Can you help me out there with that?" Just go like, "It's your job." If I do that, no, I'm talking to you, boy. You know who I'm talking to. Just go like this. You're right in front of me. Saul. First thing I want you to understand, he was from the tribe of Benjamin according to verse number 1. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be from the tribe of Benjamin? By the way, there's another Saul in the New Testament who was from the tribe of Benjamin. We later know him as the Apostle Paul. But the significance of the tribe of Benjamin is this: it was the least of all the tribes. It was the tribe that was almost wiped out because of their wickedness back in the book of Judges toward the end of Judges. And I'm not going to go back and rehash that story, but I'm telling you, if there was a runt, and if you ever have a litter of pups, a lot of times there's a runt. I mean, that little fella, he ain't got no chance. He's limping around. He may not make it. He can't fight to get the milk, and he's off to the side. If there was a runt in the tribes of Israel, Benjamin is the runt. The most unlikely of candidates to bring forth a king would be the tribe of Benjamin. You see, the nation of Israel, when they think of a king, they would think that it would probably come from the house of like Judah, which, by the way, David did. But for the nation of Israel to have a king from the tribe of Benjamin, that's unlikely. But you got to understand this, because there's a New Testament principle here, and that's the truth, is that is exactly how God works. God takes the most unlikely, the most, I don't know, unseemly, the one that was voted in the high school most likely not to succeed. I don't know if they ever had. I know if you ever go back to your high school and go most likely to succeed, those guys, you know, they don't have a chance, because they're already, by that time, everybody's voted for them because they're full of themselves. And that's very difficult for God to use somebody like that. But if you're thinking, I am most unlikely to be used by God, then you're the candidate. But it has to really be your spirit. Now, you know 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we just preached, but it's so, it just bears repeating. And here's what he says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God, this is God, the God of this universe, the God that created it all, the God that it called everything to existence, looks down upon man and chooses the foolish things of the world. Why? So they can confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things, low things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does God do that? Well, he answers it in verse number 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And then he goes on to tell the church at Corinth, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now you'll notice with me in the story that Saul starts out seeking the man of God, therefore seeking the way of God. And if we seek the way of God and the word of God and the things of God, then God can use us. But when we become a king and think we can make the rules and do whatever we want, then we might end up seeking a witch of Endor at the end of our life and dying afraid with no peace whatsoever, which is exactly the way Saul died. God's not looking for big shots. He's looking for the humble. He's looking for the one with the attitude that would give God glory and honor in all things. And God begins to move in such a way to use that person. And you know, usually a person many times that like is called to preach struggles with it because he's thinking, I could never do that. When in fact, that's kind of the way that God works. Because if a person thinks he can't do it, but yet God is working in their life, that's probably the better attitude than sitting around going, well, I don't know why God didn't call me, because, I mean, look at me. I'd be like awesome if God would. That's glorying in flesh and not glorying in the Lord. Our God needs to get the glory because he's the only one that deserves the glory. The name Benjamin means son of my right hand, was the beloved son of Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. And in the truth, this is a type of Christ, as Christ was the Son of God. Now, verse number two not only says, verse number one says he was the tribe of Benjamin. Verse number two says he was a choice young man and goodly. Now, in the sense of this, it was that he, chapter number 10 and verse number 24 says this about Saul. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king!" Samuel declared, there's nobody like Saul. He's head and shoulders of everybody else. He was physically strong. He was attractive. And in the East, if you go back, you ought to go back and look at some of the buildings of the Middle East old. You always notice that the doorways are like short. And you know why? Because everybody was short. They were not tall. And so they were able to walk. So if you had somebody that was tall, they just stand out. That's kind of like still happens today. You know, I have to stand on the third step to talk to Ben Forster if I want to look him in the eye, because he hurts my neck if I have to talk to him like that. But in the East, where many men were short, a tall man was well respected right out of the gate. Now, one of the complaints against Samuel was, remember this? And I meant to say, Samuel, you're getting old. We need somebody young. We need somebody strong. We need somebody attractive. We need somebody that, and you know what God said? He goes, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you Saul. I'll give you this man. He is goodly, has an attitude right now. But I'm afraid God knows our character all the way." He knew what they were given. He knew what he was given. See, they thought they were getting one thing, but in reality, they got something else. Be careful what you ask for.
Amen. That's right.
Because you might get it. Remember what I said last week when in Psalm, I believe it's 106, when it says that God gave them what they wanted, but what they got was leanness inside of their soul. You know, we need to have the attitude that, you know what, God knows what I need. God knows where I'm at. God knows what I'm going through. God can see me through. And you know what our attitude is God, I need you. And when that's our attitude, and when that's our heart, and when that's our spirit, because as long as everything is going good, we can, if we're not careful in our humanity, we might think that things are going good because, after all, I deserve it. The only thing we deserve is hell. And anything that God gives us that's good and gracious is by the grace of God. And we need to keep that attitude. Unfortunately, many people look on the outside to choose someone for a position when God looks on the heart. Now, the third thing is not only was he from the tribe of Benjamin, and not only was he goodly, but here's what I like about this. In verse number 3, he's an obedient son. The asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, arise and go and seek the asses." And Saul leaves and passes through Mount Ephraim, passed through the land of Shalishah, but they found them not. They passed through the land of Shalem, and there were they not. And they passed through the land of the Benjaminites, but they found them not. And finally Saul said to the servant in verse number 5, "We better get back to the house because my father's going to be more concerned about us than he is the animals that were lost." And the servant had a great idea. "Well, why don't we seek the man of God?" Now, by doing this, seeking the man of God, God had already come to Samuel and said, "Hey, tomorrow about this time, I'm going to lead a guy here, and he's going to be the one that's going to be the king, and I want you to anoint him." But the idea of verse number 3, he was obedient to his father. He didn't talk back to his father. He didn't argue with his father. He didn't say, "Oh, send another servant." He goes and he looks for his father's animals. Now, this is important, folks. Everybody listen to me. You cannot be faithful. You cannot be faithful in big things unless, first of all, you're willing to be faithful in little things. If you're a young man, I'm going to talk. I preached about marriage this morning. Let's continue that. And I'm going to speak to the young men. You're a young man, and one day you're going to be looking for a godly wife, and you meet a girl. And let me just tell you right now, you meet that girl, and she is not obedient to her father. She speaks ill against her parents. She goes behind their back to do whatever she wants. Don't think she's going to be obedient to her husband later on. Because she needs to go back and get everything right with her parents and right with God. But if she's obedient and sweet-spirited to her father and her mother and her family and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of girl you want to marry. Now, donkeys were important animals in Saul's day, and they needed to be found. And what some may seem to be an insignificant event turned out to be a very significant event of the life of Saul. What if he hadn't went looking for them donkeys? He might not have met the man of God who anointed him to be the king. Now, I know God works all that out, but the point is he didn't know that as a human. He needed to be obedient. And if we're obedient to the small things, like, let me talk to the kids now, the little kids. If you can be obedient when your parents tell you to go clean up your room and you just throw everything in the closet and shut the door and say, hey, I did it. And then your mom comes in to open the closet door and everything falls out. That's not obedient.
That's right.
That's trying to get away with it.
That's right.
Obedience, putting everything where it belongs, doing it with the right attitude, do it with a good spirit.
Yes,
amen, preacher.
Yeah.
Saul was diligent. That's another thing. Verse 4, he passed through Mount Ephraim, passed through several cities. He was concerned for what his father was concerned about. Saul's servant advised him to see the man of God. The man of God was an honorable man. He could be trusted. That's a good testimony for God's servants, that they know who to trust and who not to trust. But here's something maybe that we need to understand. Look down at verse number 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where's the seer's house? He was standing right in front of Samuel, the man of God. And by the way, they didn't live that far away. He should have known who the man of God was. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I'm the seer. I'm the prophet. Now I want you to go with me to the high place. He only lived 20 miles from Samuel, and Samuel didn't know who he was. Now, we've got to be concerned about spiritual things. I know people who have been saved 30, 40 years, but yet they don't know what the Bible says about certain simple things that we should know, hands down. You should be able to give somebody the gospel. You shouldn't have to bring somebody to the preacher or to the somebody. You should be able to have a testimony. You should be able to show somebody how to be saved. You should be able to give a testimony of the hope that is within you. But I'll tell you this. Saul had dinner with Samuel, and Samuel told him the donkeys had been found. And in verse number 21... I'm just telling you, verse 21, Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjaminite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore thou speakest thou so to me? Now that is transparency, humility, and modesty right there. He didn't swell up and go, did y'all hear? Yep. I'm going to dinner with Samuel. No, he was humble. And God is still in the business of using the weak things. The jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand killed thousands. A rod, an insignificant rod in the hand of Moses, opened up the Red Sea. David, who was nothing but a shepherd boy, took 5 smooth stones and was able to kill the prideful giant called Goliath. God used a handful of flour and a little oil in the hands of a widow to feed her family and Elijah. The Lord used a little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The most what seems to be the most insignificant things. You understand that's why I give all the children Andes? That's why I give all the children jelly beans? That's why I give all the children cookies? Because I don't know which one's the most insignificant.
That's right. Amen.
But yet could be the most significant when it comes to the things of God.
Absolutely.
And folks, I don't know which one of them little kids is going to be my boss one day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to treat them all with goodness so they can say, yeah, we have to take care of that old man. He's pretty pitiful. And here's how I want to bring this to a conclusion. Could we agree tonight that in the beginning Saul had some good characteristics?
Yes,
he had some good qualities. But if you put all those good qualities together, there's no guarantee for success. And that's where we need to be on our face before God tonight. Lord, I need you. I need you now. I've always needed you, and I'm going to need you in the future. Saul needed God's help. Boy, if Saul had just sought God's help in everything. Because, listen, when God tells you to do something, it's not that hard to understand. Saul, I'm going to use you. And I know we'll preach this later on, but basically it was like this. Saul, you know, way back when Moses was in charge, there was these people called the Amalekites. And these Amalekites, when we were going into the land and we were in war, these rascals came up behind when the feeble and the lame, you know, because the troops were going forward and Joshua and the battle was taking place. But, you know, we had some older folks and we had some people that were infirmed and they were toward the end. And you know, them rascal Amalekites, they came around and they came on the backside and they started killing our people and doing, and I'm telling you, they were wicked. You know what? I told them I'd deal with them one day. Well, guess what? Now the time has come. See, God will always do what He says He's going to do. He just doesn't do it in our time frame. Because there's a lot of times I'm saying, God, I need you. I want you to do this right now. And God says, now I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's my will, but I'll do it in my time. And man, can you imagine those Israelites thinking, man, those Amalekites, they're wicked. God said, yeah, one day we're going to take care of those Amalekites. Well, God said, okay, now's the time. So Saul, you're the king. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to wipe out the Amalekites. Now, not only do I want you to wipe out the Amalekites, but I want you to wipe out their sheep. I want you to just annihilate everything. And if Saul had been obedient to God the Father like he was his father Kish and going after the donkeys, he would have done it. See, all of a sudden, he's the king. And now he hears the people. And you know, he's more concerned about maybe what the people think than maybe what God's telling him to do. So he blames it on the people and he doesn't do what God told him to do, but rather he goes in and he goes, ooh, man, look at all of that good stuff. Let's just keep that. That's not what God said to do. God said, no, these are Amalekites. You got to go back and study the history of what they were. I want them annihilated. I've been waiting to do what I said I was going to do, and I'm going to use you, but that didn't happen. And you know, that's where we get the statement. Because Samuel, Saul, should have raised your hand right there. You missed your opportunity. Saul says, well, now that I'm the king, I think I'll keep the good. Because after all, look, we can use this for God. We can sacrifice and we can do this.
Yeah.
And that's where we get where God says that obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, God rejected Saul from being king, but David wasn't ready yet. But it was a downhill spiral. Because once you start disobeying, and you've got a bad attitude and you think you know everything, it'll be harder to get back where you need. So Saul had some good qualities, but it was not a guarantee for success. When God calls, He equips for service. If God wants you to do something for Him, He'll give you the ability and He'll give you the strength to do it. The key trait is to be willing to be used by God. And as Saul is anointed by Samuel, which is a symbol of God setting him apart for a special task, to be the first king of Israel, Here's another thing I want you to understand. Samuel wasn't grudgingly. Samuel didn't begrudge Saul. And so another thing to look at is Samuel, when Saul is promoted, when others are promoted over you, how do you look at it? When the servant of God is in the will of God, then God will solve the problems. The donkeys are found. God can accomplish what we cannot. But here's the deal tonight. The question is, no matter how old you are you available to be used by God? Are you willing to take the character that God made within you and be willing to turn yourself over to be used by God? Don't start out good and finish bad. Start out good, and God help us to finish strong. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for this story of what we learned tonight about Saul and the goodness of Saul. And Lord, it's just so hard for us because we know the end of Saul. But yet in the beginning, he started out obedient with the right spirit, right attitude, humble. But he got that position of king. He even got that position maybe of first king of the nation of Israel. And it didn't end up being right, because when another man got promoted or came and did great exploits for God, rather than giving God the glory, he got jealous and envious and bitter. And he tried to bring revenge upon David, and he tried to kill him. And Lord, we can see right now that didn't turn out good for Saul. And if it didn't turn out good for Saul, it certainly wouldn't turn out good for us tonight. So God, help us to be used by you tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. 283, Brother John will lead us in some verses. Give us an opportunity to ask the question, do I want to be used by God? Do I want to have the right attitude, right spirit as we sing tonight? 283.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I